Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there, guys. Boy, it's good to be back home. Good to be back home. Coach Dave coming to you live this morning from, as Mark Levin would say, my underground bunker here out in the cornfields outside of Columbus, Ohio. Great to be back from the long ride. Guys, I'm telling you, I got the biggest kink in my back from pushing on that gas pedal. That's what it's got to be. I don't know. And, oh, man, I couldn't hardly sleep on Saturday night. I felt like JR. He's always complaining about riding in the car. So I'm hoping to get straightened up here, straightened out, and really get rolling. I'm fired up today. Got a bunch of guys in here. Several of them made the trip to Wichita, Kansas with us. Going to give them a chance to share some thoughts that they have about coming back there. Got a video I want to play. The Republican Party seems to be lining up a little bit. The Democratic Party seems to be imploding. Fox News is imploding. There is unbelievable stuff going on out there. And, of course, if you watch this show at all, you know that I say it's all spiritual. All spiritual. Everything's happening. There are no happenstances. Everything's going on. It's beginning in the spiritual realm. So we're glad you're joining us. If you want to listen by phone, 605-475-0017. I'm going to give that to you again here real quick. 605-475-0017. I want you to get the book of Acts open up there today, Roger. Book of Acts, chapter number 5. I'm going to dive into this pretty quickly here, and then we're going to go maybe a different direction after we get done with it. Book of Acts, chapter 5. We're in a war. We are in a spiritual war that is manifesting in the natural realm. We are not physical beings. We are spiritual beings. We are a spirit who lives in a body, and we possess a soul. And our spirit will at some point return to the spirit world, spirit realm. They call that death. We call it heaven. We call it hell. We call it whatever we call it. We're all going there. We're all going back there. And I don't know if you know this or not, if this ever really dawned on you, but the only way Jesus was able to come and operate in this world was through a woman. Even Jesus himself, in order to get into this natural realm, had to take on a body. And there's disembodied spirits out there. You say, what? Yep, disembodied spirits, the spirits of the dead who ain't got no place to go. I'm going to shock you. Hell's not open yet. You guys do know that, don't you? Hell's not open yet. So these disembodied spirits are, hell's where they're going to go. That's where they're going to end up. That's the lake of fire. They're going to be cast in the lake of fire. But these disembodied spirits are out there. They're trying to, the only way they can get into the earth realm is they got to find a body to get into the earth realm. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. Did you see the video of Hillary and that seizure that she had the other day? None of that stuff, guys, none of that stuff amazes me. None of it amazes me. And so we see all this murder that's going on and all this mayhem that's going on and all this stuff. It's all because there is a spiritual realm. And Jesus entered into this earthly realm through the body of a woman. And when he left, he said, I got to get out of here. It's expedient that I go away, because if I go away, I'm going to send a comforter, and he that was with you shall be in you. And so now the Holy Spirit is in the earth realm. The Holy Spirit indwells Christian and dwells Christian believers.
Amen.
And we are supposed to be his emissaries, his ambassadors. We are supposed to be here in this natural realm, bringing the kingdom of God to this natural realm. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It is finished. The kingdom of God has come. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom has come. When he came, he brought a kingdom. He got rid of the old kingmaker. Satan no longer has any power. He's been overthrown. Although we don't understand, we really don't understand that we have power over the evil one. We really don't understand. Because we don't understand that we have power over the evil one, we have given that power to other earthly men. And earthly men who are controlled by the demonic realm. But this is not hard to figure out. This isn't some fairy tale. This isn't Walt Disney. This is absolutely the truth. And we should not be surprised when we see people in high places being controlled by the evil one. What kind of Bible are you freaking reading? How can you not read this and see that this is going on? And the greatest lie that we've ever been told is that we just live this life, and the devil comes along and he tries to steal our money and tries to steal our health and tries to steal our kids, and then we die and we go to heaven. Other than that, then none of this stuff going on around has anything to do with spiritual things. How stupid are we? Just how stupid are we? I was reading something real quickly this morning, and I can't remember where I was reading it, but somebody made the comment, as I've said a number of times, the most ignorant people he runs into are Christians. They're just freaking stupid. They don't expand. These are people who go to church and supposedly open the Bible, yet are unable to take what they've read in the Bible and apply it to what's going on around them. They're stupid. We, of all people, should know there is a devil, and that the devil has minions, and that those minions are roaming the earth. Oh, you pick up the Bible and read it. We see what Jesus spent all of his time running around casting out demons. We see he threw the demons into the pigs. We see all of this stuff, and yet somehow we don't think that has – Hillary couldn't be demonic. There's no way Hillary could be possessed. Obama, oh, he would – no, he's not. No, he's just dumb. He just is ignorant. He doesn't – there's no evil there. Debbie Blabbermouth Schultz, no, she's just not very smart. No, they wouldn't do that. No, schools, schools aren't promoting evil. No. They're just trying to do the right thing by not forcing religion down anybody's throats. And so therefore, to go ahead and have Christians go ahead and pay their money for evolution only to be taught to their schools, well, that's just a nice thing that Christians would do. Christians don't want to be mean and try to force things on people, because if they did that, then people would never come to Jesus. They would never come. They would be so offended and think Christians are so mean that they would never come to Jesus. And of course, we all know that the main reason that we're here is to get other people to come to Jesus. That's the gospel, isn't it, guys? Isn't that the gospel in our churches today? Jared, I could get him going here in a minute. He had a discussion this weekend with all these nicey-nicey. You know the word nice appears nowhere in the scriptures? Nice. King of kings, Lord of lords, nice of nice. Never anywhere do you see that. Does Jesus tell us to go out and be nice to people? We're supposed to love them, but it doesn't say be nice. Sometimes God's love hurts. Think about when you raise your own children. Are you always nice to them? Or sometimes do you have to take them to the woodshed, straighten them out? God's love hurts, baby. It hurts. But God's love hurts because he's trying to break the stranglehold that the world has on your life. Stranglehold. I was having a conversation off the last night with Steve. Steve and I connected last night. Steve went with us to Wichita. And just a discussion, I'm not going to tell stories on you, Stephen, but I know you won't mind if I share this. Stephen said he was getting a little bit confused about, you know, golly, if you sin, is the Lord get mad at you? Are you able to, if you're not, you're supposed to walk in holiness and you're not walking in holiness, are you separated from the love of God? What is this whole thing? And see, people love, more than anything, to cram legalism back on top of us. They want us to have Jesus plus this. Jesus plus this. Jesus and you have to tithe. And Jesus and you can't eat pork. And Jesus and you have to forgive. Jesus, all this other stuff rather than just Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you, if you have Jesus and your eyes are open and the Holy Spirit indwells you, when you come to truth, you're going to recognize it. And you don't have to go to church and sit there in some church and hear some guy tell you something that doesn't witness with your heart that you know that just isn't true. That's just not true. You ever feel that in church? Do you ever sit in church and pastor says something and you say, dummy, that's not what that Bible says. And everybody swallows it hook, line, and sinker because why? Well, he's the pastor. Really? Did he go to seminary? Because we know this, not that that matters, but a lot of guys go to pastor, they just decide maybe they want to start a business, so they got to start a church. And they're now the pastor. And what does being a pastor, how does that make him an expert? Somebody help me out here. So does that make him an expert? I'm a pastor. Well, okay, then start calling me Pastor Dave, because I want to be an expert. Pastor Dave, I'm an expert now. Now, what happens if Pastor Dave disagrees with Pastor whoever? Well, Pastor whoever, he goes and starts him a church. And they hide inside their church, and they believe what they learn in their church. And Pastor Dave, that Pastor Dave's crazy. Don't believe him, just believe what I tell you, because I'm the pastor and I'm the expert. And how's that worked out for us here, guys? How's that been working? And so when a guy like Jared begins to stand up and speak up and fight back and push back a little bit against those sissified Christians that are around him, Jared's the dummy. What's happened to you, Jared? What's happened to you? You've gone off the deep end. Have you been listening to your dad? Have you been listening to that coach? Oh, no. Well, that coach, he isn't even a pastor. Yes or no? You guys, you get where I'm going here? Get where I'm going? And I would say that over the last few months, we've just opened up this Bible and we read it and say, my goodness, that is what it says, isn't it? That is what it says. That is what it says. It's not what my pastor said the other day. Or it may be what he said, but he took it totally and completely out of context. You can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. You can find in the Bible a reason to love homos. Somebody say amen. You don't have to. You can find it in the Bible. You can find it right in the Bible. And so you build a theology on that. A pastor builds a theology based on how he interprets the scriptures to be. And that's why we don't win, see. Because the truth of the matter, with the exception of Wayne, who's, we'll get Wayne in here in a second too, exception of Wayne and Bill Dunphy, and I can name a few others, most pastors are passive when it comes to fighting the devil. They don't think we should fight the devil. We should just let the devil go, because Jesus is coming and he's going to separate it and figure it all out in the end. And if we don't fight the devil, then we hide inside our churches and we become holier, more holy and righteous than anybody else. And other people want to come to Jesus because we're so nice to them. And that is not the truth. I was in Wichita, Kansas. I spend a lot of time out on the streets. I'm going to tell you, there are far more lost people than there are found. Anybody agree with that? Do you know more found people or more lost people? I'm lost. Asking you guys. Many more lost. Many more lost people than you ever find found people. It's the reality of it. And what's our response? Well, we just got to love them into the kingdom, Brother Dave. While they're chopping off the heads of little babies and raping little girls and impregnating women and having them go and get a boy. We just got to love them into the kingdom. No, we don't. No. We have to raise up a righteous standard against them. Say, that's wrong, buddy. Stop doing that. As soon as you do that, then your relative's going to reject you because you're not nice. You're not loving. They'll never come to Jesus because you're so harsh. Boy, I don't know where that came from, but I'm telling you some truth here today, boys. Are you in Acts 4? Is that what I said? Acts 5? Oh, man. You get a chance, read all of Acts. I'll read all of Acts 5. It's about Ananias and Sapphira, and they lied to the Holy Spirit and, boom, knocked them dead. That would preach pretty good today, wouldn't it, Pastor Wayne? Huh? That the Holy Spirit knocking them dead right at the door. Yeah, that'd preach. No, you can't be going there, because I can tell you this. Holy Spirit knocked them dead. They're not going to come to Jesus, doesn't look like. The Holy Spirit's pretty harsh with them there, killed them. They'll never come to Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Let's go to Acts 5, verse 11. I need to do this before we jump into the debriefing. This is really good stuff. Roger, which Bible you got?
I got the Man Bible.
Okay, buddy. Let's go to Ananias and Sapphira both just drop over dead. And it says in verse 11, and great fear came upon all the church. That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? Great fear would come upon all the church. Not great love. Do you see that? Not great love. Great fear came upon all the church when they saw the power of God to drop Ananias and Sapphira for lying to the Holy Spirit. This is good stuff. Start there, Roger, 5:11. I'll try not to interrupt too much.
And a great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch.
So they're showing the signs and wonders of God amongst the people. That'd be different, wouldn't it? Instead of hiding it inside the church, you're out in the streets showing everybody what's going on. People are amazed by it. Watch what happens when the Holy Spirit shows up. Follow this now. Come on. Come on. See if they're just loving everybody into the kingdom. Keep going, Roger.
And of the rest, there's no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them.
Mm.
And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women.
How come that's not going on today? Keep going.
And so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by night, by might, overshadowed some of them.
Now, hey, Roger, why would they bring these people out and lay them in the streets, their cots? What would make them do that?
They were crowded.
They saw the power of God, didn't they? And people said, man, I want to get a little bit of that. I want a little bit of that. And it was so strong, I said, man, if just a shadow passes us, it'd be good enough for me. So they're taking it to the streets now. It's outside the church, as if there ever was one. But that's outside the church now. And people are bringing their family and they're lining them up. All this. Watch what happens when you take the gospel to the streets. Keep going, Raj.
And so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities around about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one.
What were they vexed with?
Spirits.
Wow.
Unclean spirits.
Wow. Keep going.
17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of Sadducees.
Religious folks.
And were filled with indignation.
They're pissed. All these people are getting healed. They're mad.
And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison.
Now, what did they do? Huh? These guys are out of healing people. And the pastors don't like it. Oh, no. Let's put them in prison. Keep going. This gets even better.
This is good. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison.
Yeah.
But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go.
Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people, all the world of this life.
Mm.
And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came.
There comes the pastor.
And they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought.
They want to arrest him again. They're not even smart enough to see the Holy Spirit got him out of jail. The pastors want to throw him back in jail. Still not good enough. It's sort of like getting a Pastor Protection Act, right? Going to the government, get the government to protect you here. Keep going there, Roger. Come on, it's going to get better, I promise you.
But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all the safety and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow.
They're worried now. Uh-oh, this is going to get big. We got to stop this.
Then came one and told him, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.
Oh, my goodness. Trying to lock up the Holy Spirit, boys. That don't work very good. They're still trying to lock him up today, too, I might add. Go ahead. 26.
Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned.
So the people are trying to protect these street preachers now. They're liking what they're hearing. The police don't like it, and the pastors don't like it, but the police are smart enough to figure out, you know, if we try, they're going to stone us if we try to take these people to jail. 27.
This is unbelievable.
Yep.
And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying,
hang on, Roger, because here's if the pastors could Sorry, Wayne, if the pastors could, this is what they'd be saying to those of us who take our gospel to the streets. Verse 27. Listen to what the pastors say.
Saying, did not we stately command you that ye should not teach in his name, and behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us.
We told you stop doing that.
Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slayed and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so it is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them and that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them.
Uh-oh, you get it? You start unleashing that Holy Spirit's going to make those church boys mad, especially if you're not doing it inside the sanctuary where that Spirit's supposed to be. So it's, hey, Rog, you cut them to the heart. And they took counsel to do what? Slay them. They want to kill these guys who are preaching in the name of Jesus. This is incredible. We're about done here. Let's go a little bit farther.
What verse am I at? 34.
34.
Thank you. Then he stood up there. Then stood there up and won the counsel of a Pharisee named Gamaliel.
Gamaliel. Yeah. Gamaliel stands up. He's got a little bit of sense here.
Yeah. A doctor of the law had in reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space.
Yeah, the lawyer steps in and tries to buy him some time.
And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain in all, and as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up, Judea of Galilee in the days of the taxing drew away much people after him. He also perished in all, even as many obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found to fight against God.
A lot of people fighting against God. Three more verses, Roger.
And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they
beat them. They're not going to put him in jail. They're just going to beat him a little bit. That's all.
They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That's a good message.
Uh-huh. One more verse makes it even better.
And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
So they beat the crap out of him, and they said, yes, that is so awesome they beat us. Let's go, boys. And they went right back to where they were. And what you see right here, you can paint it any way you want to. You see the religious world trying to constrain and restrain the Holy Spirit and to keep the Holy Spirit inside the church and away from the people who need it. That is a picture of what's happening in America today. Cool? Good teaching this morning. So we took the gospel of Jesus to the streets. Yes, Jared, go ahead.
Well, Coach, just a question. It may be a little off subject, but right here, verse 31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. That kind of, it's for the saved. It's for the people who recognize they're sinful.
Right.
You recognize you're sinful first.
Right.
Then you repent. Right?
That's it. That's right. And so, see, our job is not to love people. Our job is to make them aware of their sins. It's like my wife woke up last night in the middle of the night. She got a cramp in her calf. An unbelievable. She's writhing all around. It went on for about 3 or 4 minutes. And I'm immediately thinking, golly, I've got to take her to the doctor or what? I'm immediately thinking that, see, scratching my head, because the sign of what's going on, the injury tells me there's something wrong. So what the gospel is, you go to the streets and you diagnose it. There's something wrong with you, man. You need some treatment. And the Holy Spirit's the treatment. We can't go to people and say, oh, your leg hurts. Oh, that's okay. It's supposed to hurt. Oh, you want to kill babies? Oh, that's okay. Jesus loves you. We can't go. We can't continue to carry a gospel like that because people will not understand their need for a Savior. Good point, Jared. Anybody else want to dive in here real quick? Okay, no divers. No divers. So we go to Wichita, Kansas. We take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the streets. We're a gospel-centered ministry, Christ-centered ministry, almost to a point. I spoke on Thursday night. I almost went there on Thursday night, this idea that Jesus just wants to get everybody saved. Does anybody think that Jesus wants to just get everybody saved? Does anybody think that that's all he's about? Huh? Now, we know that the word says that he doesn't want any to perish. He wants all of them, everybody to come to repentance. Well, hey, guys, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If he wanted everybody to come to the Lord, wouldn't they all come? If he wanted them to? It's not that he wants them to. He wishes they would. There's a difference. He wishes they would. He doesn't want any to perish. He wants all of them to come. Now, come on. If he's God, couldn't he get what he wanted? See, we take that word wrong. We don't understand. Not everybody's going to come. I hate to tell you this. This is a selective group. It's broad and narrow. It's many and it's few. And until we come to that realization of what we're dealing with, we're going to be fighting an uphill battle, trying to save those who maybe the Lord hasn't called to salvation. Huh? Hey, Pastor Dave, Wayne. Roger.
Well, I've always found it funny that if the Bible emphasizes free will, but yet so many believers believe that all will come to Christ, or if we just love them into heaven or love them into the salvation, but the free will, God gave us the free will, that would have to tell us that some are going to follow and some will not.
Amen. Amen. So, Jared, I'm going to let you jump in here a little bit because we had a little preseason talk here before we started this morning. Explain the discussion you had this week, Jared, with people that love you and that you love in regards to what we're talking about right here.
Well, there's the core difference. So we're all Christians, we all believe God's grace for sinners. And the core issue was that us as the way that we approach these problems, homosexuality, we are a roadblock for for Christians to be able to save people in a way.
People can't save because you're too harsh.
We're a roadblock for real Christians. So we're not really even the same thing. See, whereas my message to this whole conversation that we had, where they're saying, look, you're wrong, and I'm like, I don't think so, is you just look at it, there's evil and there's good. Good men don't let evil prevail. It's that simple. It's that simple. Okay, what is evil? Killing babies. Is that good or evil? Evil. Men, don't let that evil happen. Don't got to think any further than that. It just felt to me, we just complicate the crap. We're not being like Jesus. I don't have all the answers. I'm just like, look, evil, good, stop evil. I don't. That's it.
See, but Jared, you have to understand, and I know you do, to them, all Christianity is about is getting people saved.
It's relationship.
You guys see that? Do you see that? That's all it's about. That's all it's about in most churches, just getting people saved. Just getting people saved. Now, guys, listen. You don't ever get anybody saved. I've been a Christian for a long time. a real Christian. I ain't never saved anybody. I led them to the truth. The Bible says nobody comes to Spirit, touches the Father unless the Spirit draws them. I can't get anybody saved. And I can promise you this. The Lord can use my feeble words to bring others to Christ. Even if I screw it up and I don't do it exactly by the book, if the Holy Spirit is in my words, he's going to draw them. And then when he draws them, they're going to have to make a decision. Are they going to accept the truth or are they going to reject the truth? And one of the greatest lies that we are facing out on the streets is to tell everybody that Jesus loves them. They already know that. Jared, they already know that! They just don't know they're lost. They don't know they need a Savior. They know Jesus loves them. They don't know they're lost. See, I feel this deep in my bones. This really, really is a grave, grave misteaching in the church. That many, a few, wide and narrow. And the greatest persecution comes from the religious folk. You just read what we just read? Rich, I'm going to come to you a second. Rich drove all the way from Granite City, Illinois, St. Louis, to Kansas. Just give us your take, Rich, on after coming home and playing this all through your head. What's your take?
it was great being with everybody. I come home with the same take that I've come home from that first abortion clinic and Target and the Sodomite Pride Parade. I'm beginning to think I have serious anger issues because I come home angry at what I see, you know, and Wichita, what it did for me was, as we stood there, I stood next to Wayne a few times and I was ashamed that my wife had to be with me. I tell you what, from this day on, I'm going to put her by the pool with a lemonade, and I'm going to grab my sword.
Yeah.
And I'm going to the street. It is a shame that women have to stand there. Nothing against women. We got a battle to fight, and I don't want her fighting it when I can fight it.
Amen, brother.
My wife went and stood because I couldn't find no men near me to go.
Amen.
And it makes me sick at my stomach, and it makes me angry.
That's what I preached on Thursday night.
It was awesome.
Huh? That's what I preached on. And, Rich, I couldn't agree with you more. We take our women because we don't have enough men.
That's right.
Because men won't do it. Men won't do it. I just feel right now, just let Jared get that video ready. I played this video Friday. I spoke Thursday night. I played this video before I spoke. This is entitled Abortion is a Man's Issue. Let's take about 4 minutes and watch this a second, guys.
Hi friends, this is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer at NewsWithViews.tv at NewsWithViews.com. You know, I've been thinking about something recently with everything that's going on with Dr. Gosnell killing all those poor babies in Philadelphia and everybody standing around with their arms up in the air and saying, isn't that awful? Isn't that awful? We've been sold a lie, folks, and here's what the lie is. We've been told that an abortion is a woman's right to choose. It all falls on the woman. She's the one that gets to decide. Well, I'm here to tell you today that abortion is a man's issue. We'll say that again because some of you are slow to hear. Abortion is a man's issue. And as long as we continue to hide, I'm talking to men now, as long as we continue to hide behind the fact that the society would tell us that it's a woman's issue, then more and more children are going to die. But I'm going to tell you what's even worse than that. Not only do children die at the abortion clinic, but a part of a woman dies at an abortion clinic.
Amen.
And many of the women who are there are not there by choice. They're like an animal whose foot has been caught in a trap. They don't really want to have to kill their baby, but they are killing their baby because they found themselves laying in the sack with an irresponsible man.
Amen.
Because it was an irresponsible man, the woman finds herself in trouble and doesn't know what else she's supposed to do because, first of all, she hasn't been trained in very good morals, so she doesn't understand that you don't lay down with a man until you marry him. We don't teach that anymore. But even worse than that, we have these irresponsible men who want to milk the cow for free. They want to be able to milk the cow for free. And then when the trouble appears, they say, oh, well, here, honey, here's $500. This will take care of it. As if that's some type of responsibility. I'm going to tell you today, you are not a man because you can make a baby. You are a man when you can raise a baby. Abortion, my friends, is a man's issue. See, I hear it a lot when we go out and stand outside of an abortion clinic. I hear the death scorch. Those people would stand outside and try to encourage the women to go in and kill their babies. I hear them say all the time, well, where are the men? I bet you wouldn't be saying that if you were a woman. I bet you wouldn't say that if you got pregnant. Well, really, what does that have to do with anything? See, God made the man the head of the family. It's the man's job to guide, to guard, and to govern, and to protect. And the women that are being taken into those abortion clinics and are making the biggest decision of their lives, the most important decision, one that they will never get away from, killing their own baby. Many of them are doing it because, why? Irresponsible men. Now, I'm going to say something to the women real quick. See, you women, you bought a lie. You bought the feminization of America. You bought the women's lib movement. You thought women's rights freed you, but it didn't, see. All the women's right movement did was gave irresponsible men the right to be irresponsible. You know, I wish she wouldn't kill the baby, but, it's a woman's choice. Abortion won't end until men, godly men in particular, begin to stand up and do something about it. And I'm not talking about John Boehner or Marco Rubio or Rand Paul. Talking about you and your pastor. Until you begin to stand up and accept the responsibility for manhood and what that means, abortions are going to continue. Here's what I want you to know. It's time for you to be a man. You see, you're born a male. You're a man by choice. Abortion is a man's issue. Those babies are dying for their daddies to come and protect them. This is Coach Dave Doppenmeyer at newswiththews.tv, at newswiththews.com. We'll see you next time.
Well, that's a home run. If I do say so myself, that's a home run. And you tell me how many churches in America that will be preached in. It won't be preached in the churches in America because women run the church. Feminism has crept into the church. The entire church program is designed and run by women. Oh, you may have a skinny jeaned, moosed up little prissy guy lead the praise and worship, but he's singing womanly songs. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. They don't say, onward, Christian soldiers. No, no, no. Prissy, sissified, nice Christianity. And it ain't working. That's why men won't go to church. Or if they do, they go there and just twiddle their thumbs and can't wait for it to get over so they can go golfing or go home and watch the football game. They just want to get out of that place, but they're in there because they're trying to keep their wives satisfied. God, I'm speaking the truth to you. I'm speaking the truth.
Dave.
Yeah.
Dave.
Yes.
You know, there's a new gun shop that has opened up near my church, and I didn't know, but they have Sunday hours now. And I got to confess, when I'm heading from my class with my young men and I'm going in this a couple times a month, all I want to do is go to that gun shop. And I'll go to that gun shop and I'll have some of the best conversations about the Bible I can tell anybody. Most of them are believers. They're working. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I'd rather be there in the gun shop on Sunday morning than in the pew.
Amen, Roger. And if you stand up in your church and you try to exert any manliness at all, they're going to do to you exactly what they did to those guys in the book of Acts. They're going to try to shut you up. They're going to try to get you to quit being so radical because, Roger, you're going to upset the women. You know that. You're going to upset the women with that kind of talk. And we can't have that going on. So let's go to Pastor Wayne. Pastor Wayne's been hiding in the bushes here for a few weeks watching Coach Dave live every morning. And Pastor Wayne said last week when I issued the challenge to get in your car and come on out there that he and his wife Debbie probably ought to come. Pastor Wayne, you're not mad at me for beating up on you bunch of sissy pastors? You got to unmute yourself, Wayne, or Jared does. There's a little red microphone at the top of your screen, bud. Hit that microphone and unmute it. Jared's pointing at you, trying to get you to do it. This is Wayne's first trip, so let's be gentle here with Wayne. Take your mouse, Wayne, put it right at the top, and you see a microphone there that's got an X through it. Click on that, and that unmutes you. There you are.
Speechless.
Hang on, Wayne. Your feed's not catching up with you again. Jared, is he unmuted?
No.
You're still muted, Wayne.
On my end, he's unmuted. I can't do anything more. On my
he's
side.
Speechless and overwhelmed.
Hey, Wayne, are you using a cell phone?
Because we can't hear you. You're still not unmuted, Wayne. And there's millions of people all across the world that are watching you right now. Say, look, I see those pastors. They can't even open their mouth. They're dumb dogs afraid to bark. I'm trying to give you a chance here, Wayne. Wayne's got a sense.
We don't stand a chance.
Wayne's got a sense of humor.
They don't know the technology.
Okay, well, while Wayne's still messing around with his phone, we'll get him in a second. What's it says? It says, hold it up, Wayne.
He's on an iPad.
Oh, my God. Should work the same, shouldn't it, Jared?
Yeah, if you touch the screen, Wayne,
touch
it should
screen,
pop up.
Wayne, and see if there isn't a little microphone that pops. Just touch the screen. There should be a little microphone that pops up right at the top there.
Or at the bottom.
Somewhere. You can't teach these pastors nothing. Stephen, jump in here, Stephen. You were there, man. Give us a little earful. Is this something, huh? We shut the pastor up. Huh? This is awesome.
It's about time it happens.
About time. Go ahead. Jump in. We love you, Wayne. Jump in, Stephen.
Hey, he's bibling, so I'll have to help him out. What was you?
Just your experience, Steve.
Well, I think I try to share most of it, but I do want to piggyback on what Rich and you were talking about. I think we were discussing this throughout the whole week, and Wichita was there was too much focus on trying to love them rather than understanding that we were in a battle. I do got to say that was something that, because think about the two times that we actually, me and you and I were actually raised our voices. Look how quick it.
Yeah. Stephen and I we started out the first day. We were in a big public park called Keeper of the Plains. It's a statue of a huge Indian where the little Arkansas and the Arkansas River come together in downtown Wichita. And it used to be kind of a ceremonial burial ground for the Indians. Well, the city of Wichita has now built this huge, huge statue of an Indian. He's called the Keeper of the Plains. And we were down there, and we were handing out literature, and we were reading the Bible. And then all of a sudden, I amped it up a little bit, and I went from reading the Bible to declaring the Bible, the Word of God. And then Stephen piggybacked on it, and it wasn't 2 minutes. And the demons are flying, and the cop shows up, and everything began to – the atmosphere began to change at that point. And it was because of a strong, clear declaration of the Word of God. Not a word of love. See, again, it comes back to the same thing. What is love? And because we don't understand what love is and our desire to love everybody, love thy neighbor as thyself. Listen, if you love your neighbor, sometimes you got to tell your neighbor to quit doing what he's doing. That's the greatest form of love you can give him. I love my neighbor. Quit getting drunk and beating your wife. If you love him, would you go back to say, oh, Harry, you're just the nicest old boy. Please, Jesus wouldn't want you to beat your wife, Harry. And maybe if you would just come to church and learn the things of the Lord, you'd stop beating your wife. No. You intervene, right? You intervene. Rescue some by pulling them out of the fire, it says in the book of Jude. That's not the message that we have in the church. Wayne, have you got it figured out yet?
Am I talking now?
Are you kidding me? We
Are
got you,
kidding
brother.
Me?
We got you, brother. Go for it.
Yeah, I had to limit my screen so I could see my stuff down below.
There you go.
Anyway, what I found out from Wichita probably just confirmed. I saw a lot of people that actually loved people, and they were speaking the truth, just as you was speaking to that young man inside the clinic on the stoop smoking a cigarette.
Right.
And basically you gave him the man up sermon. But you have to know that a heart can't be healed until it's wounded. There's no reason for a heart to be healed unless it's wounded. And so Peter here cut the heart. He wounded those people. Some got healed, some got mad. And we're going to get the same result. Jesus said you're going to get the same result.
Bitter or better.
Yeah.
Bitter or better.
You've got to use the sword. Now, those that are affected will be drawn because God is drawing them through his word. And when they're drawn, they get saved, but there's a lot of them not going to be drawn because, as you have said many times, men love darkness. And that's one thing I did not like about Wichita is that you could feel the darkness.
Oh, boy. Wayne, that's what I say to everybody, Stephen and to Rich. In order for you to understand the enemy, you got to get out there and look at him. You got to get out there and look him in the eye and feel it and understand that this spiritual battle is very, very more real than anything we can even imagine. And Wayne, from a pastor's standpoint, why aren't they doing – what's up, Wayne?
Fear. They want to, but they fear.
What, afraid of losing people? Afraid of losing people? What are they afraid of?
I thought you was asking me why the people don't do it.
Why don't pastors do it?
Fear. Same answer, fear. I think you get out there and you think people are going to think you're. We fear men more than we fear God. We care more about what people are going to think about me. You know, oh, no, look at him out there. He's a radical. I don't want to associate with a radical.
Right.
I want my stuff smooth. I don't want any bumps in the road, and he's creating bumps in the road, and that's not the way I want to live my life. I want to just hear a sermon, sing some songs, feel good, check it off the list, go home, and I'm okay.
Hey, Wayne,
that's not Christianity.
Let me create a dialogue here a second between you and Jared, because you're really similar whether you know it or not. You are now, you've been pierced in the heart, and now you want to go back and you want to help your people grow. You want to help your people grow. Jared wants to help his family grow. Jared's family is stuck in being nice, and for the most part, the church is stuck in being nice. How do you make that transition, Wayne?
I think we've been duped on what nice means. If you're going to rescue somebody and you're going to win somebody, then being truthful is being nice. But, you know, sometimes we have to say things that don't sound nice, but we are being truthful. And I think if somebody really knows you, I'm pretty hard on our folks, very hard on our folks. But they know I'm hard on them because I love them. And so I think we need to better explain what love is. As you said, it's not a feeling. It's not an ooey, gooey, icky, sticky thing that comes over everybody and we all feel great. Sometimes love, you don't feel good at all. And that's the love that motivates you to change because you don't feel
sometimes,
good.
Sometimes, here's a good line for you guys. Sometimes God's love hurts.
Yes.
Just as a parent, sometimes it hurts. Jared, you're going to say something.
Yeah, just a personal thing is, I'm not really trying to do anything other than have the courage to speak the truth every time it's necessary. I'm not particularly concerned if they see it my way or not. Really, it's look, evil, good, stopping evil. So what am I going to do? I'm going to join the school board. I'm join the planning committee. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to do something to fight evil. I am doing it, you know, and that's it. And if they see that, like, join the school board with me. It'd be great to have somebody else to help me do this. You know, it's not about saving. It's just, here's the truth. They're pumping bestiality, homosexuality into our innocent children. I'm going to do everything I can to stop it.
Jared, do you think it's the will of God that that happened? You know, we like to pray, Thy will be done.
Protect the children, Lord Jesus. Lord, put your hedge of protection around them, Lord. Keep them safe in those schools, Lord.
Well, we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what if his will is not being done on earth as it is in heaven? Aren't we his ambassadors to stop that from happening?
Brother,
not just to pray for his will to happen, but to stop things that are against his will.
Like, I was in the Marines for 8 years, okay? The amount of time that I spent training to do the actual job was like 99.5% of the time was training, and I had 0.5% of the time where I actually got to do my job. And I'm tired of that. I'm tired of it. And in Christianity, I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of waffling around and just, well, yeah, let's pray about it. Let's talk. Well, here, let's think about it first. Are we doing it the right way? Does your sign have the right words on it? Are
well,
you turning people off?
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care. I just got to do something. I just got to do something. So, anyway, that's it.
That's exactly where we are, man.
Amen.
And
anger issues.
Hey, should be, right? The Bible says be angry and sin not. Now wait a minute.
Give me a little bit of that.
Wait a minute. Listen to me. I just got a revelation. Uh-oh. I always thought that be angry and sin not. I always thought that meant don't go off flying off the handle. Don't go flying off the handle. What if the Lord said this? Be angry and don't ignore it. For him who knows to do good and not to do it, to him it is sin. So he says, be angry and sin not. Sometimes being angry and sinning is not doing what you know you ought to do. That becomes a sin. Be angry and sin not. Be angry and don't ignore it. Be angry and don't ignore that thing that's making you mad, because it might be for a righteous reason that the Lord has incited that anger to rise. Guys, when did anger become a bad emotion? When did that become so not allowed? You know, not allowed to be angry. In fact, Coach, calm down. Calm down, Coach. You're getting angry. No, Chet. Aren't you?
Amen.
Aren't you angry? Aren't you angry at the murders of unborn babies? Aren't you angry at the families that are being destroyed by homosexuality? Aren't you angry at that?
Right.
Aren't you angry that the government won't let the mention of Jesus in our schools? Aren't you angry about that? What is it that ticks you off? You get ticked off and I'm ticked off. You're mad, I'm mad. Why aren't you mad? And why aren't you mad about the right thing and then do something about it?
Dave?
Yes, leave me alone. Yeah.
Hey, Pastor?
Yes. Wayne,
first of all, thank you for joining us. And
amen.
Please join us again. We're just honored to have you with us, all that good stuff. You know, I think of, Pastor, the men in this huddle, and I know we're running out of time. None of us want to go to church. None of us want to be there. And I think we're out there by the hundreds of thousands. Will you tell us your view on fellowship? Where we get hit a lot is, well, you need to be in fellowship. You need to be around the body of the believer. Well, most of us don't want to be in the so-called church fellowship. I like my huddle fellowship in the morning. Am I scripturally okay?
Now, hang on a second, Wayne, before you answer that, because I know there sits 26-year-old Stephen. Is he 26, Stephen?
Yeah, I'm 26.
26-year-old Stephen, I'm telling you this, Roger, he's starving for fellowship. He's starving for fellowship, and he can't find this kind of fellowship. He can't find it anywhere. He'll go to a church, and it's like, oh, my, So those guys out there need to be rescued. Go ahead, Pastor Wayne.
Well, you can't give up, and yes, you're wrong. You can't, just like I talked to Stephen. Stephen lives within 30 miles of me, probably about 25 miles of me. He's going to come eventually, and he's going to find a little bit more than just fellowship. Number one, Christ has a head. He's the head of the body. and the body is the church.
Amen.
You can't love the head and not love the body. It wouldn't go over very well if I told my wife, hey, I really like your head, but your body's not too swift.
Yeah. or the other way around.
yeah, or the other way around. So, you know, it's a package deal. And, you know, I understand. You know, me and my wife talked about this very thing coming home from Wichita because I told her most of the guys in the queue don't go to church. And she's like, well, how can that be? I said, because they're tough to find. They're tough to find. And once God stirs some things in your heart, you don't want to sit around in a normal atmosphere. It's like Jared, you want to do something. But if you got somebody up there not coaching you to do something, well, you get frustrated. But we can't give up because the church is plan A, and there's no plan B.
That's right.
If he's going to do something great, grand, or glorious, he's going to use his body to do it. We are his feet, so we got to find one that's doing it. We just got to keep looking.
John,
thank God for this. I get a lot out of this, but we got to go on. We got to do something better than here, because here most of us just listening.
Pastor Wayne, didn't you tell me that you've now written 26 sermons off of this queue?
30 now.
Hey, John Pride jumped in here right at the end. Hey, how are things out in Wichita this morning, John?
They're good, brother. How you doing?
Doing good, brother. Doing good. Give us your quick overview here, John.
Oh, I tell you, you know, catching up late, but, you know, concerning the church, you know, I go to church because I guess.
You broke up, John, or you muted yourself. Something happened.
I guess when I go to church, I kind of consider myself to be the image of Malachi. When they see me, at least they're thinking. I mean, I don't even have to show the picture. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. They know. You're associated with it.
Right. And so, but it's tough. I mean, it's tough.
You know, I hear from guys, man, we're running out of time. Listen, I hear from guys often who say, Coach, quit speaking against the body. You're doing us all harm when you speak against the body. Well, the body's freaking paralyzed. I'm trying to poke it and see if it'll kick, if it'll do something. Something is seriously amiss in the body of Christ. It's like Jesus broke his neck. His head's okay, but the body just lays there. And I know that's not true. And so part of what we have to understand is what we think's the body may be in the body. Maybe it really isn't, because you know this, for the most part, a lot of us here were rejected by the body, just like we read in Acts, right? Just like we read in Acts, arrest them, get them out of here, get them out of here. They're out there preaching in that name of Jesus, and if they keep doing that, the whole town's going to be upset. Stop that. They're going to think Jesus is a fool. They were making Jesus look bad. They arrest him, throw him in jail. That's what they want to do to us. Now listen, I'm not saying I got it all together, because I certainly don't. But I can tell you this, that big building sitting down the street with 750 people in it, most of them folks are lost. Couple minutes. Anybody didn't get in, wants to get in?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I think I'm starting to rub off on you, because I heard you say with you a lot.
With you. That's right. I try to get Stephen to speak English. With you, with you, with you. And he's hooked me, I guess. Jared.
Hey, just on the church thing, we've got a good friend, Paul Madore. He's a Catholic, and I agree with him. Simply the act of going to church, I do think is important. Now, finding a good church or finding the right church, see, I'm not even sure. I think you might even should go to your local church. It's just an important thing to do, just to do it. I've been going to Mass. I've been going to local Catholic Mass because they don't talk there. And they just look at the crucifix and the cross and they say, I suck. I really need God's grace. That's all Catholic Mass is about. Please, God, give me your grace. I suck. And I'm like, yes, perfect. So, well, Jared, I still try to go.
Jared, you suck, and you don't have to go to church to learn that, all right?
I love it.
You already suck. Hey, everybody let Jared know he sucks, all right?
You suck, Jared.
Yeah, so he doesn't have to turn, to Rome to be able to unsuck.
That's right. Hey, yep. Coach, keep on poking.
I'm poking. Listen, Serge, you know I can't do it any other way. And those of you who know me know that, really, I got a pretty big heart. But as a football coach, I couldn't love the boys while the game was still being played, you know. There's time after the game to hug them and tell them how much I appreciate them. But in the midst of that game, it's my job to get them to play to the best of their abilities, the fullness of their ability, to the maximum of their talent. And I just get frustrated because the church certainly isn't doing that. Hey, God bless you all. Thanks for joining us today. And be back here tomorrow because it's going to be even bigger and better. We'll get Pastor Wayne to show us his tattoo tomorrow. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.